Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Tim Alberino, you know, he's one of the most fascinating men I know, Tim Alberino. He's a great guy. He's an awesome researcher. You know, I like Tim Alberino a lot. And he's with us. He's going to spend the next hour with us. We're going to be talking about a number of different things. You're going to want to really put the computer on record now, or make sure you download this segment before we get to Tim Alberino. Ready Made Resources, Bob Griswold, what a guy. Okay, folks, anything and everything you need for preps. You heard Matt Bracken the last 90 minutes talking about potential for unrest. It made me uneasy. How about you? Did it make you feel a little bit uneasy? Let me tell you something. Ready Made Resources, they have got the top of the line, top quality product. And this is what the Hagman Report looks for. This is a one-stop shop for everything you need. Now, I'm going to direct your attention to the Hagman Special, which is under the Outdoor and Tactical, and then you go to Communications and Optics, I believe. Okay. And there you'll find the Ham Radio Package. Now, you're going to need communications. That's a great option. Because, as Matt Bracken said, the lights go out. How do you know? Who turned out the lights? Well, if depending on the cause, you'll be able to communicate. Ham radio, very, very reliable. Check that out. As well as all of their products. But any questions whatsoever, you call Bob Griswold, 800-627-3809. 800-627-3809, or something good at readymaderesources.com. But make sure you mention Hagman. Make sure you tell them that you heard about Ready Made Resources on the Hagman Report, because every time you do that, he sends us $20, and we're saving for a Maserati. I'm kidding, but you know what I mean. Help us out. Help us out. Now, Tim Alberino. By the way, folks, the Branson, Missouri Conference. Steve Quayle called me the other day. He said, and I'm gonna kind of reenact the phone call. Hey, Doug. This is like, you know, 6:30 my time. Okay, I'm in the office, and it's 4:30 his time.
You're going to the conference. You know that, right?
I said, oh, Steve,
you're going to go to the conference.
I said, okay, I'd love to. I mean, I'll buy the ticket.
You're coming to the conference. You're just going to come and you're going to watch it and meet, you know, Tim Alberino. And
it was funny. It was funny. I cannot reenact it, but it was funny. I can't wait to meet all the people there. Tim Alberino, what's the latest with the conference? And welcome, by the way, to the Hagman Report.
Well, we're excited to see you guys at the conference. This is going to be, this is going to be really exciting. I mean, this is going to be information that we've not released before. I know Steve's preparing something that he has never talked about before in 20 years of being on talk radio. I've been here watching him prepare it. I know for a fact Anselm P. Rambla has been preparing for about the same amount of time, for 20 years, the talk that he's getting ready to do at the conference. And what I mean by that is, he's completed research over the years, over the decades, and has held some of it back. He purposely has not presented it for all these years. The guy's been traveling all around the world. Anselm P. Rambla is a Spanish explorer and world-renowned Spanish explorer. And he has a explorers society called Boak Rus. He sailed all over the earth on his boat with his team, which include very highly skilled academic professionals, scientific professionals from various disciplines in the scientific community. And they've done excavations, they've done explorations, they've gone deep in the Amazon. He's been on, he's spent a lot of time in Tibet with the Tibetan monks. I mean, these guys have been everywhere. And Anselm has gathered a particular kind of information that he again has been holding close to his chest, and he made it clear to me and Steve in Cusco. We were recently in Cusco, all of us together, that this is going to be the event that he finally releases this information. So, and I can tell you that I also have some things that I've been preparing that I've never said before, and something that's really been something that's hit my spirit very intensely over the last few months, I'm going to be presenting. And obviously, we have, besides myself and Steve Quayle and Anselm P. Ramla, we have Tom Horn, L.A. Marsouli, Michael Lake, Derek Gilbert, David Langford, and Henry Groover. And so this is, I don't know that we'll ever be able to get all of these guys back together. I know that, Steve and Tom they're not conference people. They're winding down in terms of Tom, in terms of his desire to do conferences, and Steve has never been a conference person. So to get both of these guys in the same conference, and then Anselm P. Ramla and Henry Groover and these other guys, is it really is very unique. And I'm not just engaging in hype and hyperbole here. This is very, very unique, and we're extremely excited about it. It's the conference is actually almost sold out. We have less than 100 seats left in the actual venue, which is it's at the Mansion in Branson, Missouri, from the 15th to the 17th of September. But for those who can't make it who don't get tickets in time, we are also doing live streaming. Live streaming is now available. You can stream the entire event. You can go to gen6conferences.com to sign up for the live streaming. But yeah, we are really looking forward to this. And again, I've been watching Steve put his presentation together. I've been in constant conversation with Anselm P. Ramla, and I've been putting my presentation together. And we're going to blow the lid off a couple of very important topics at this conference.
Well, it's a fantastic lineup of people.
Well, can you sneak us a hint at your topic?
Well, I know Steve's going to be dealing with one of what I consider to be one of the most, two of the most interesting subjects, one pertaining to the Egyptian incursion into the United States. But then he's also going to be dealing with what I consider to be probably the most fascinating topic, something that David Flynn covered in his book, Cydonia, which is this idea of this planet Rahab that exploded, that was destroyed, the judgment of God in the pre-Adamic age. Absolutely fascinating topic. And again, Steve is preparing, he's preparing that talk. Anselm P. Ramla is going to be dealing with some information concerning concerning some of the alignments and some of the astral alignments and some of the astounding intelligent design of the megaliths in South America. And he's going to, his talk is basically on the mystery of the Andes, and it will blow your mind. When this guy, and we've seen, I mean, we got a sneak preview of this thing in Cusco, and it's absolutely mind blowing what he's going to present. And then what I'm going to be talking about is I'm going to be dealing with, the reemergence, the resurgence of the empire of the gods that existed in the antediluvian age. And dealing with some questions involving human genetics and basically a possible extinction scenario that's beginning to burgeon on the horizon for the human race that very few people have actually considered. So I can speak for the three of us because we've been communicating. I'm not sure what – I think Tom Horn is going to be presenting some information on cannibalism as it relates to DNA and all kinds of interesting stuff. I talked to Tom a few months ago, and I know L.A. Marsouli has been in Portugal. He went to Fatima, and I don't know if that's what he's going to be talking about, but I know that he was in Portugal a while back and actually recently. And as far as the other speakers go, I'm not sure, but I'll tell you what, I can't wait to hear some of these guys talk at this conference, especially Steve and Anselm. So,
you know, in our experience, we have been to a number of conferences, and when you hear these people who come on our show or other shows, and they talk and give their presentations, it's always fascinating. But one thing I've learned from experience is that when you see them talk in person and give their presentations in person,
It's like 100 times more powerful. And it is, whether you're watching it on a live stream or you're there watching it live, it is amazing, you know, how these people are able to, I don't know what you'd even call it, you know, step up their game, or, you know, just the amount of time that they put into preparing, whatever it is, there's something really special. And especially when you get a group of people like this together, it's going to be a fascinating event, no doubt about it.
Well, we believe that we are, that this is the timing of this conference, is providential. We believe that we're in a very important time, a period of time, in terms of the historical narrative, in terms of the historical timeline of the human race, for many reasons. We have, there are things that are happening on the earth right now that are going to lead to some very terrifying, inevitable situations. And again, some of these situations are things that most people have not even thought about. And some of the things that are going on the earth right now and under the earth are accelerating at such a rapid pace that even a lot of the end times expositors, the guys that spend their lives studying the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and so forth, the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, and so forth, have overlooked, because they haven't been paying attention to some of the other questions that are extremely important to the conversation of what is going to happen at the end of the age and how is it going to unfold. I mean, you have to familiarize yourself, just for an example, with ufology, if you're going to be able to put an accurate picture together of where things are headed. But not only that, I think you also have to familiarize yourself with genetics. You have to familiarize yourself with the super soldier projects and things like that are going on behind the scenes. And when you put all of these things together, you get an astonishing paradigm of the end times, of the end of the age, that is vivid, that is frightening, but at the end of it all is an unimaginable bliss and hope for the human race. But so these things are all coming together, and surely at this conference we will be dealing with things that we have never talked about before. So,
well, let's get into some things here that are happening in the world of news that's actually coming out in the news and being reported. One of these, you know, we see in China, they've been recently editing genes in dogs and other animals to make them more muscular. But there was an interesting story about scientists being able to build DNA from scratch. And I'll have to find this story. What are the implications of them being able to do this? Are we looking at, you know, what the Bible said in the days of Noah, that these scientists, these evil workers are going to be creating, you know, what you've talked about, the super soldiers and just about anything under their imagination. Is that what we're looking at with this ability to just manufacture DNA out of thin air?
Well, what we're looking at is the convergence of several technologies that are going to develop exponentially over the next decade, couple of decades for sure. Definitely within the next 30 years, there will be a dynamic paradigm shift for the human race on several technological fronts. And they're all happening at the same time. These things are moving forward concurrently. The construction of artificial DNA, I know that Craig Venter has been working on this for some time, creating artificial life forms using synthetic DNA, and they're making headway. And we're also making a lot of headway, and when I say we, I mean the human race is beginning to develop what's called nanotechnology, nanobots, that in the next couple of decades, nanotechnology, and Ray Kurzweil believes that would project a much shorter, would have a much shorter due date for the introduction of nanotechnology into the marketplace than a few decades. He would probably say within a decade we'll have nanobots, nanomachines that will be going inside of our bodies, and gradually the technology that we hold in our hands is going inside of our bodies. This is the development of biotechnology. It covers the nanobots. It covers the the genetic technologies, the genomic technologies that are being developed, including the artificial life forms, including artificial intelligence. All of these things are converging. They're all being developed and are moving. They're progressing exponentially, and they're going to converge in the future. And some people call that the singularity, when these technologies are sufficiently developed to where it absolutely creates a paradigm shift, especially as it pertains to artificial intelligence. It's not a question of if. I don't care how fanciful this sounds. I don't care how sci-fi this sounds to people. It's not a question of if. Forget that. It's only a question of when. The only way this is not going to happen is if the human race exterminates itself before these technologies are matured sufficiently to where that paradigm shift happens. And the paradigm shift that is coming is going to have biblical consequences. It's going to have salvific consequences. That's why I said if you're not taking into consideration the things that are actually developing on the earth as we speak, then you're not going to have an accurate paradigm concerning the end of the age. One of the things that I'm going to be talking about at the conference is, and I'll give you a preview of some of my talk here, something that I've discovered gradually over the years, and especially in the last few years, is that, and this is something that most people just absolutely are clueless of. And that includes many people in the scientific community. The people in the scientific community, the individuals that would be aware of this and are aware and are greatly alarmed, are the population geneticists. Because they know that genetically speaking, the human race is rapidly degenerating. Genetically speaking, we are rapidly devolving, to use that term. Devolving from Adam, obviously. And we have been since the fall. But in the modern age, that process of devolution has been greatly accelerated. In fact, we're devolving at such an astounding rate that, and I don't want to get into all of the technical details, but we're evolving at such a rate that we can't keep up anymore with all of the genetic diseases, the genetic disorders that are popping up all over the place. What we have to remember is that the human race, in terms of our fitness, in terms of our vitality, in terms of our lifespan, we think we're doing really well because we're now living into our 80s. The only reason that human beings are living into their 80s is because we have a technological prop. We have a technological prop that is propping up our species. If that prop were to be kicked out from under us, we would be in a very pathetic condition. We would be in a very dire condition. And so we have technology that's been keeping pace with our genetic degeneration, or at least helping us to remedy some of it to some degree. But there is no way. By the way, what I'm saying right now, this is a consensus among population geneticists. There is no way that we know of right now to stop the absolute genetic degeneration, the genetic decay that we are facing, our species is facing at this present time. In fact, what they're saying is that we're headed for an extinction level event because our genetics, our genome is degenerating at such an accelerated rate. Well, that's a fact. I mean, it's not, this idea is not even disputed among population geneticists. And it's not spoken of in the general populace because we have this technological prop. We all assume that we're all getting healthier, that we're all getting stronger. We watch the NFL, we watch the NBA, we see these guys, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. And the only reason that is the case is because of the technological prop. It is not because we are genetically becoming more fit. The scientific data proves that is not the case. The opposite is the case. We are genetically less fit. We are genetically less prodigious than our antecedents. So we're coming to a critical, a crisis, catastrophic, what's called actually a catastrophic mutational meltdown in our DNA. And again, this information is flying quietly under the radar right now, but population geneticists are well aware of and have been writing about it since the 50s. And, the guys in the 50s were concerned about it. And they, for example, in the 50s, in the 1950s, geneticists were growing increasingly concerned about genetic degeneration of the human populace of their day, which they estimated, by the way, to be occurring at a rate of roughly 0.1 to 0.3 nucleotide mutations per person per generation. Well, one of the more renowned geneticists among this group, a guy by the name of Hermann Mueller, proposed that just one deleterious bad mutation per person per generation would lead to an inevitable long-term genetic deterioration of the human race. That was back in the 1950s. Well, we now know unequivocally today that there are hundreds, in fact, there are over 1,000 deleterious mutations per person per generation, deleterious gene mutations on the nucleotide level per person per generation. And that is a conservative number, 1,000 per person per generation. Remember, Dr. Hermann Mueller proposed that just one would be enough to instigate an inevitable long-term genetic extinction, basically, a deterioration leading to the extinction of our species. So we also know that human fitness, the overall vitality of our species, has been declining for several decades at a rate of approximately 3 to 5% per generation. In other words, we are rapidly devolving, genetically speaking. And if you throw, and that's just genetics, that's not even dealing with the social component.
Real quick, the study that just came out about the sperm count in the Western world declining by over 60% in the last 40 years verifies and says a lot to what you just laid out.
It's no accident either.
No.
It does. It part of that, listen, there's a twofold situation that's happening right now. One is a man-made catastrophe, let's say, a situation which is being propagated by a very evil group of people who are into population control and who want to basically who want to get rid of large portions of the population. That is happening. That's happening in the background. That's why we're seeing a lot of the things that we're seeing in terms of the sperm count. They're purposely they're purposely attempting to demasculate the populace, and that fits right along into what you guys were just talking about concerning the gender ban in the military. There is an active program of demasculization happening in the United States, especially in the United States. So that contributes. That is contributing to the underlying problem. The underlying problem being that we are rapidly deteriorating as a species, genetically speaking. So when you put those two things together, we have a crisis on our hands. And the proof is in the pudding. I mean, the cancer epidemic has been quietly ravaging the human race for some decades now. And cancer is fundamentally a genetic disorder resulting from damaged or mutated genes. I mean, the American Cancer Society released its earlier this year released its projections for 2017. Their projections of the cancer epidemic in the United States. In the United States, 1,700,000 new cancer cases will be diagnosed this year alone. 600,000 people will die. 1 in 2 males, 1 in 3 females will develop cancer in their lifetime. And this is, we've just assimilated this epidemic into society. We've all been touched by it. My mom died of cancer when I was 14. We've all been greatly affected by this epidemic. and yet we've just assimilated it into our collective psyche. We have not connected the dots. Our species is degenerating, and we are headed for a cataclysmic, apocalyptic scenario that's coming very soon. And the consequences of which, as I said earlier, are going to be epic. They're going to be biblical in proportion, and are going to have a bearing on the salvific question, the question of salvation. And it's again, this all of this is snowballing together. It's coming to a convergent point. The technology, scientists are rapidly attempting to create some kind of a synthetic housing for the human, for the human psyche. We already know that the brain is going to be mapped, just like the genome was mapped back in the late 90s. The brain will also soon be mapped. It will be sequenced, so to speak.
Yeah,
and
Tim, I'm sorry, not to interrupt ahead. You, but this was done. This was a directive, an executive order done under the Obama administration. Not only mapping the brain, but mapping the different neurological connections in the brain. Like you said, just basically down to, you know, every single gene. And this is something that has been ongoing, the brain mapping for over, since 2011, if I remember correctly. And I've done a lot of research into this, and they, have a specific purpose in mind with this kind of technology. And it goes well beyond what we even understand right now into the realm of what you alluded to earlier about, you know, the merging of machines with the biological components of the brain and how those two things work together. If you put a piece of brain matter in a computer chip together, the brain matter and the computer chip basically merge and grow together. And I think people need to understand the implications of that. And this is exactly why they're trying to map the brain.
Yes, and the reason why they're scrambling to create to begin the process of creating a synthetic body that can be host to the human psyche, because they would love to be able to download they're already working towards being able to download your memories and the different psychological components that make you, to be able to download that into a computer or into some kind of a synthetic body, perhaps a body that is made up of nanobots or something to this effect. I mean, that's what guys like Kurzweil and all kinds and many of these other futurists have been saying for years. But the shocking reality is that the human genome is soon to become inviable. So the human race is becoming inviable rapidly. And what that means is we are headed for an inevitable crisis moment as a species. The genetic revolution is going to take off. I would contend that the genetic revolution began back when we sequenced the genome back in the late 90s. And by the way, President Bill Clinton was the one who was a part of that, and he was in the White House during that technological feat that was accomplished in the late 90s, the sequencing of the human genome, which basically means that we were able to map the blueprint of our genetic code. It is according to what's called the technological imperative, the inevitability thesis. Once you introduce a useful technology into society, what follows is the inevitable development of that technology. So genetically speaking, we are going to enter the hybrid age, period. It's going to happen. The genetic revolution has only just begun, and it is going to carry us into a hybrid paradigm. Not only a hybrid paradigm, which involves the genetic component, but also which involves a technological component in terms of synthetic bodies, nanotechnology, downloading and then re-uploading the human psyche, all kinds of technologies that, again, as I said earlier, are progressing at a exponential rate at this very time. It is in every sense of the word apocalyptic, the scenario that's about to unfold on the earth.
Well, what can we do to slow it down, if anything?
I'm sorry, you cut out there for a minute.
What can we do to mitigate it? I mean, just aside from praying and understanding what they are doing through this technology and science, is there anything we can do to not only, you know, stop the sperm count from going down, or anything in our power that can, that we can do as people, spread the information.
In addition to exposing it.
Right.
Yeah, Tim, are you there, man?
Okay, I'm. You guys cut out for about 20 seconds. I think we're back there.
All right. The question at hand is, what can we do, Tim, to mitigate, to stop, to delay, to whatever? I mean, aside from carpet bombing.
If anything.
Aside from, or in addition to exposing this, what can we do?
Well, this has to do with the events that are prophesied to unfold in at the end of the age. So in terms of what can we do to stop this, the gears of this mechanism have been turning for a while, and there's no way to stop them. We are heading for an inevitable scenario. And for the believer, for the unbeliever, obviously in the biblical context, the only hope that we have is in Jesus, specifically in the resurrection. And that's very interesting, because what is going to take place on the earth before the end of the age, and we may be nearing that point, is a how can I put this, a counterfeit salvation, a counterfeit offer of salvation that will be proposed to the human race, because we are heading for a catastrophic mutational meltdown, genetically speaking, that is inevitable. And so the only solution is going to be either A, some kind of a synthetic body, or B, which I think is more likely, somebody, something is going to show up and offer us their genetic components to fix our devolving condition. And that, I believe, gets into the mark of the beast, that gets into the scenario that's going to unfold at the end of the age. Remember that in the book of Daniel, there's this very strange line that reads concerning the final empire that's going to arise on the earth, and they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And I believe that's exactly what we're heading for. They, some kind of a non-human force, is going to offer salvation to the human race in terms of our deteriorating genetic condition in the form of hybridization.
Is that what Daniel talks about? And they shall try to, mingle the seeds together, but it will not cleave?
I believe that is an allusion to the scenario that is quickly approaching. Look, here's how you have to approach biblical prophecy. We are living in an advanced age. So, the Bible is not going to prophesy something that is not relevant to the age in which the events are actually going to occur. So we are entering the hybrid age. The genetic revolution has already begun. As I said, it began in the late 90s, and certainly at the beginning of this century. So the gears are in motion. This is what's happening on the earth. You cannot close your eyes and pretend that it's not. It is. There is a cancer epidemic, and there will be 1,700,000 new cases diagnosed this year alone in the United States. We are in a process of genetic devolution, not evolution, devolution. And of course, we're devolving from Adam and have been since the beginning, but that process is now greatly accelerated. And so coming to here, as I keep saying, is an inevitable convergence, an inevitable apocalyptic scenario that cannot be averted. On the other side of this scenario is the answer, the great hope, the resurrection the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember, Adam was the first man, and it was through one man, the Bible says, through Adam, that sin and death entered the world. And then it says, and then we're told in the New Testament, and through one man, salvation comes for the human race, and that is Jesus. And so the resurrection actually returns us to the blueprint that we initially had as human beings, which was Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall. So that's precisely where you can call them the elite cult practitioners, the human components and the non-human components that are involved in all of this, that's where they're trying to take the human race, is to a counterfeit a counterfeit Christ, a counterfeit restoration of what we've lost, i.e., what we had in the garden, what our progenitor Adam had, walking with the Lord in the garden in a transcendental state. He was very much in an ascended transcendent state before he sinned and death entered the world. And so that is the state that that the futurists, that the occultists, that the global elite, they want to subvert the gospel. They want to return mankind to that transcended condition, but rejecting the gospel. They're trying to do an end around the cross of Christ and the resurrection. And that's where these technologies are going to, that's how they're going to culminate. They're going to culminate in what is called the post-human condition. The human race is headed for a post-human condition. And when that happens, there's a number of things that are going to be set into motion that have to do with the end of the age. And all of these things have to be factored in, again, concerning the end of the age, concerning the things that are already unfolding, concerning the things that are going to unfold in the future. And not many people are adding all of these things together. But when you do, I'll tell you what, when you add all of these things together and then you go back to where Jesus says, as in the days of Noah, and you look at the days that we're actually living in right now, there's no way that Jesus would have uttered that statement without being knowledgeable, without having full understanding of what the end of the age would look like. And the best analogy to the times that we're living in, the hybrid age, happened to be the days of Noah.
And if I can jump in here, I was thinking about this very issue of which you're speaking of. And let me see if I can make sense out of the freak show in my head when I was thinking about this, okay? When Jesus made that statement, our lack of knowledge, and this is where you come in, because I was thinking about you and Steve Quayle at the same time. I was thinking about this statement. It is because, I believe this, as it was in the days of Noah, okay, and making reference to that, has not our history, the very history that you and Steve Quayle and Mr. Rambla and others, has not that very history been sanitized? And you and others are bringing forth the true history as it was at that time in the days of Noah. In other words, it's not the key is not today. The key is understanding the conditions that existed back then. I don't know if I made sense. That makes sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. And I think the answer to your question is absolutely affirmative. If you understand the reality, the dynamic that was at play, the dynamics that were at play in the world before the flood, and you understand that the consequence of what happened was that, A, the human race was being devoured, and the human race was in a very bad state because of the entities that were inhabiting the earth with the human race, and because of the general proliferation of gross sin and murder and basically the assault on God and the law of God. If you understand that as a consequence, the earth was destroyed in a global flood, that this global cataclysm precipitated because of the things that were occurring on the earth, and then you look at what's happening now, you would understand that this is going to stir the ire of God, and the earth is going to once again go through a global catastrophic scenario in which the wrath of God wipes the slate clean again. And that is exactly what happens. The first world was destroyed by the flood. The second will be destroyed by fire. So say the scriptures. So if you begin to understand the dynamics that were at play in the dynamics that were in play in the antediluvian age, and you look at what's happening now, you can identify the characters, the plot line of what's unfolding. So there has been a vested interest, not just by the Smithsonian, not just by the Vatican, not just by these other institutions, to cover up the truth of the past, not just by the Darwinian apologists, but by our adversary, but by the devil himself, because history is going full circle back to the beginning. And if we understand the beginning, we can understand the end. We can understand the end from the beginning from the end. I mean, it is full circle back to the beginning. That's what is occurring. And it disarms the human populace if they don't have an accurate understanding of the past. If we're heading full circle back into the same kind of scenario, you're totally disarmed. You are ill-equipped to deal with the deception that's coming because you don't understand that this isn't the first time. This is not something that's brand new to the planet. This is a replay of what occurred, of what has already occurred. And that is in fact the very statement, the very realization that Solomon had. He said that what has been is what will be, and that what has been done is what will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. And I think that was a very prescient and prophetic statement, because that is precisely what is going on. Now, you have to understand that period of time, the age of Noah, the antediluvian age, the time before the great catastrophe, the flood of Noah, the time before the great cataclysm, in the Septuagint, the flood is referred to with the Greek word for cataclysm, the great cataclysm that occurred and annihilated the old world, that world, that time that existed was what is referred to in the myth and lore of many ancient cultures as the Golden Age. That was the time when the gods descended from heaven and mingled themselves with the seed of men. That's when they came down. It's the Genesis 6 affair, but it's recorded in basically the myth and lore of every major ancient civilization that we know of had some version of this story, where the gods descend, they take wives, they produce, they have offspring. The offspring in many cases are giants. They're demigods. These are the demigods. They live among men. The gods are here inhabiting among men. Their offspring are ruling the earth, are to an extent setting up an empire in the earth, governing the affairs of men, in some cases, in other cases, in conflict with men. And the Golden Age by the occult is looked on very favorably. In fact, it is the Golden Age that the occult is working to resurrect from the ashes of the antediluvian empire. That is their goal. So you have all of these technologies that are being developed as we speak, again, on an exponential growth curve. And you have the scientists that are working and the futurists working to develop these technologies. But in the background, you have the occult. In the background, you have the mystery schools that know what the reason behind why these technologies are being developed. And they're getting ready to, and they already are, creating a theological foundation, a philosophical foundation for what is going to occur in the sense that the gods are coming back. We are going to reinitiate, we are going to resurrect the Golden Age on the earth. And Sibylline prophecies that talk about the golden race that's going to rise, it's going to descend from heaven. That's what it's indicating. There is a golden race, a race that hails from the time before the flood of Noah, that's going to show up to ostensibly save the human race when the only salvation for human beings is in the cross of Christ, period. But they're going to offer a very practical salvation, and that is the salvation of our species. The salvation of ourselves, of our bodies, the continuation, the continued propagation of our species on Earth. And again, as outlandish, as outrageous as this sounds, we are rapidly progressing towards this scenario. And according to According to population geneticists, the consensus is the human race, our clock is running out of time. Our genome is like a ticking time bomb right now. It's got such a mutation, what's called a mutation load in our genome. It's in their estimation, it is irreversible. So, and that's when I believe that the they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men is going to come into play. And when that happens, all bets are off. I mean, a new human paradigm is going to rise in the earth. Life will change drastically from one day to the next. And that's part of the reason why I feel this urgency that the timing of this conference, the topics that are being discussed in this conference, what I feel like has been laid on my own heart, what I know has been laid on Steve's, the information that Anselm P. Rambla is going to be bringing to the table, it is all preparatory for this astonishing scenario that's about to unfold on the earth.
Tim, you just laid out a whole bunch of prophetic and historical biblical information, and we know, you know, as you already said, there's nothing new under the sun. Where we were in the days of Noah, we will also be in the end times. And you know, it's amazing to sit here and watch how far we've come in just a short period of time, from the inception of the internet, the computer technology, to now where the computer technology is basically able to break down the human genomes and everything that a human does, to the point where the artificial intelligence now, and I want to get into this a little bit in the 10 minutes we have left, the artificial intelligence aspect of this, where computer programs are able to create their own language to communicate with each other. What kind of role is the artificial intelligence going to play in this recreation of the human and animal kingdom?
Well, artificial intelligence is sort of a wild card in my estimation. We are already developing artificial intelligence. It's not an if scenario. It's simply a question of when. When will artificial intelligence surpass human intelligence? And the answer is within a decade. That's the conservative answer, by the way. Some people believe it's going to happen within the next 5 years. Within a decade, artificial intelligence will surpass human intelligence. And that is the implications of that event, the singularity, as Ray Kurzweil refers to it, are multifaceted. There are all kinds of things that scenario can precipitate. I mean, once machines become smart enough to replicate themselves and to improve upon their own design, we could run into a scenario in which machines are no longer taking the initiative themselves to do just that, are taking the initiative themselves to create and to build. Now, I do not believe that the human soul, that we're going to be able to upload the human soul to machine. I don't believe that that's the way that the physics of the soul works. But we do have to remember that there are these entities, these disembodied spirits that have their origin in the world before the flood. They're called unclean spirits in the New Testament that can inhabit bodies of flesh, whether they be human bodies or swine. The bodies of swine, and not only one of them, but legions of them. So there's obviously dynamics, components in play that we haven't yet realized, especially as it pertains to physicists and geneticists. They haven't even come close to understanding that, let's call it, the physics of the supernatural. And so there's all kinds of things that artificial intelligence can precipitate, all kinds of scenarios. But again, it's going to be a mixture of a bunch of things together. I mean, you've got the AI, you've got the nanotechnology, the nanobots that are going to be operating inside of our bodies. By the way, these nanobots are, you can't see them with the human eye. So imagine a scenario in which nanobots, either airborne nanobots or nanobots that are introduced into the water supply of a major city, are nanobots that are devised for a deleterious purpose. In other words, for to do harm to the human being, to the human body, or that are designed to control the human mind. are released into the water systems in a major city. I mean, the implications are so manifold that we could spend 6 hours talking about plotting all of these possible contingencies concerning AI, concerning the nanotechnology, concerning the information technology, which is the artificial intelligence, and concerning the genomic technology. That's all unfolding, again, progressing at an exponential rate right now. And it's coming so quickly. Most futurists predict that in the next decade, we're going to have artificial intelligence that surpasses the capacity of the human brain. We're going to have nanobots the size of blood cells that can be introduced into the human body and do all kinds of things, including things related to our brains. And we're going to have the capability to create designer babies. In other words, we'll be able to create babies that are specifically designed towards certain genetic capabilities, towards cerebral capabilities. Basically, we'll be able to design an Einstein or a Michael Jordan. That's coming. Inevitably, it's coming. All three of those things are coming in the next decade or two. That is, if the human race doesn't knock ourselves back into the Stone Age with nuclear weapons first, which I don't think is going to happen, but that's always a possible contingency as well. It really is a witch's brew of catastrophe, of cataclysm that's going on right now. But you know, remember what Jesus said concerning the end of the age, that if those days were not cut short, they were not shortened, that no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days would be shortened. Well, that term, no one would survive, is rendered differently depending on the version of the Bible that you're referencing. Some versions, and I believe this is the accurate reading of that statement, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be able to be saved, I believe is the correct rendering of that passage. In other words, the human race would be unsavable because we're going to transition ourselves out of our human condition and into a post-human condition using these technologies. And I believe that is, in fact, the end goal.
Wow.
In terms of the devil's strategy.
And that's a very important distinction. Those were, you talk about a different meaning entirely. That's a very important distinction that you pointed out there.
It is, because it takes it from simply a matter of nobody would be left alive. It takes it from that kind of a scenario to nobody would be eligible for salvation.
Right.
Is what I believe it's really saying. Jesus was really saying concerning the time in which that is quickly approaching. And you can see why that might be the case, will be the case in my estimation.
I really wanted to ask you this question, and I'm sure it's going to sound very academic to you, but the mark of the beast, literal chip in the forehead or right hand, correct? I mean, that's
I think that in terms of there may be a chip, but I think that fundamentally the mark of the beast, we have to focus on the word beast. And remember, it's 666. That is not the number of the devil. That is the number of man. You put these pieces together, and what I believe we have is a scenario in which we're dealing with a genetic alteration of the human race.
Okay. Now, however, that mark, that alteration, the component to that is one must submit to the elite, his or her allegiance to the beast, right? So in other words, it can't be forced upon someone.
No.
Okay.
It will be an act of volition.
Right.
We will have to willfully accept this new human paradigm. By the way, not accepting the new human paradigm means basically we go extinct. The Christians, I mean, we die off because
right.
I just said that what I was alluding to before is that we are devolving, we're degenerating, we're heading for an extinction moment. But that's okay, because the hope of a believer is not some kind of a technological salvation. Our hope is in the resurrection. And so for a believer, that shouldn't shake our faith. But that's why Jesus says in the same context that that those who will overcome are those who will not love their lives unto death. In other words, they won't be willing to do anything. They won't be willing to go to the extreme to save their lives, and put that into a genetic context, put that into a technological context, and I think you can catch my drift.
Got it. Yep. Yep. We have only 2 minutes left. Tim, thank you so very much for spending your time with us. You're going to be speaking at the conference in Branson, Missouri. And of course, just go to Gen 6 conference, conferences.com, right? That's where to go. Almost sold out.
Gen6conferences.com, yep.
Right. Okay. And I can't wait to see you there. We just can't wait to see everyone there. Please sign up. Go to Gen6conferences.com. Sign up. There's only a few tickets left. And if you don't get them now, you may not get them at all. And the live streaming is also available for purchase there as well. So, Tim, God bless you, my friend. Thank you, man. It was a pleasure.
Thank you guys for having me on, and I am looking forward to meeting you in person in Branson.
You know, I feel like I know you, but it's going to be fun to finally meet you. So, looking forward to it. All right, brother. You take care, man.
You guys take care as well.
See you. Wow, Joe. Yeah, you were off there.
Okay.
So, yeah. You know what, folks? What an incredible program tonight.
Yeah.
With Matt Bracken and Tim Alberino. You see the
covered
prophetic.
Tons of ground.
Yeah. And my closing remark is this. I believe that when we look at what's the current events, whether it's the White House shakeup, whether it's the Iwan Brothers, regardless of the event, if we don't look at these events through the prism of biblical prophecy, we are missing a critical component to properly analyze the context of what's taking place. And that is my concluding statement for tonight.
My concluding statement would be, folks, check out the two shows that we've been doing all week and we'll be continuing to do for a while now, the Doug Hagman Show from 9 to 10 and the Hagman Daily Show with John and myself from 2 to 3. You can get the archives on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio. You can hear it on Global Star Radio Network. And folks, don't forget to go to the WorldNet Daily Superstore. We haven't had a WorldNet Daily author on in, maybe a week and a half? But they're going to be coming back around here in the near future. And use...
promo code Hagman.
Yeah, we don't have the graphic set up yet, but we will have that soon. Yeah. WND Superstore, promo code Hagman.
It helps us out. It helps WND out. It helps getting the truth out. And that's all we want to do. See, I said closing statement, and I opened my mouth
there
again.
There you go.
And by the way, tomorrow morning, 9 to 10, man, buckle in, because I've got some things to say tomorrow on the Doug Hagman Show.
Oh, we're just going to talk about the weather on our show. So,
yeah, you know.
I'm kidding.
I'll tell you what, you guys are good together. I like that dynamic there. It's different than you and I.
No, it is good. It is different, and it's I don't know. We're just going to keep trying new things. So, folks, again, let us know what you think of the shows if you've listened to them. You can send the feedback to studio at Hagman and Hagman.com.
Oh, only if it's good, and only if you write a note on a $20 bill and send it in. But I don't know. Yeah, on behalf of John Robertson, the program director and producer, on behalf of Eric the Tech, on behalf of Jackie, my daughter, Renee, my wife, Joe, myself, and Lady, the studio dog, and of course, her buddy, Theo. God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for your financial blessings to keep this program going. May God bless you and keep you safe until tomorrow. Good night.